Thank you so much, Mrs. Holden. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, go with me this evening to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. While you're turning there, let me ask you, who do you think is the strongest person in the room tonight? We're not going to do an arm wrestle, but who's the strongest person in the room? It might be Cameron Almendarez all the way in the back. He's a physical trainer. Some of you guys may want to arm wrestle him after the service for the ride. I don't know. You say, well, Pastor, there are different kinds of strength. What about mental strength? Who's the most mental strong person in the room tonight? What about moral strength? Who has the highest character? What about financial strength? Who has the most money? You say, I know who it's not, okay? Well, tonight I want to talk to you about a kind of strength that is more important than any other kind of strength. I want to talk to you about how to be strong in faith. And the title of the message tonight is Strong Faith. Look at Romans chapter 4. We'll begin our reading in verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, folks, when it comes to faith, the subject of faith, Abraham is the gold standard. Over and over and over again, the Bible points out that the thing that was really exemplary about Abraham's life was his faith. The Hebrews, of course, looked to Abraham as the founding father of the nation of Israel. Paul tells us in verse 16, we can really look to Abraham as the founding father of all who trust God by faith. Now, let's talk for a moment about context here. Paul brings up Abraham in Romans chapter 4 because he is making a larger point about justification by faith, apart from the works of the law. His point is that Abraham came before the law, and he was saved without the law. Isn't that true? Abraham came before the law was given to Moses. Abraham was saved before that law ever existed. Abraham was saved before the law, without the law, and how was he saved? Well, he was saved by faith. And that's recorded for us in Genesis chapter 15, that classic verse, verse 6. Abraham believed in the Lord, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Or the word in Romans 4, he imputed it to him for righteousness. So in this passage, Paul is using Abraham as an illustration of saving faith. He's saying to some of these folks that want to be saved by the law, folks were never saved by the law. Abraham was saved before the law ever came along. He was saved the same way everybody else was saved, by faith in Christ alone. And if you're with me tonight, say amen. All right, that's the context. But Paul is also using Abraham not only as an example of saving faith, but as an example of sustaining faith. What you see in Romans chapter 4 is a picture of a man whose faith got stronger and stronger as the years went by. It says in verse 19, he was not weak in faith. It says in verse 20, he was strong in faith. And verse 23 tells us that this idea of Abraham being strong in faith wasn't just written for his sake alone, but for ours as well. So in other words, one of the reasons we have this passage and one of the reasons we have the story of Abraham in the first place is so that we will know as Christians in our day how to have strong faith. Now listen, I think there's a really simple application. As Christians, we can be weak in faith or we can be strong in faith. And when we're weak in faith, we'll be weak in every other way. When we're weak in faith, we're weak in our ability to handle stress and trials. When we're weak in faith, we're weak in our emotions and our attitudes. When we're weak in faith, we will be weak in our witness and in our testimony. But when we're strong in faith, we'll be strong in all of those areas and many more. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to dig into this text. We're going to ask ourselves, what does a strong faith look like? And how can people with a weak faith get strong faith? What does it look like looking at Abraham's life? And if we're weak in faith, how can we be strong in faith? All right, here's the first thing we want to see from verse 17 this evening. Strong faith begins with confidence in the character of God. Strong faith begins with confidence in the character of God. Look again at verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So what he's talking about here is this promise that was made to Abraham. And it says very clearly in verse 17, as this promise was made before him whom he believed. And mark that phrase, before him whom he believed, even God. So this is real simple. And that's where faith starts. It starts very simply. Abraham had faith because he believed God. It doesn't say what he believed or that he believed some things about God, but Abraham believed God. And listen, the most basic and fundamental truth about faith, and this is where everyone has to begin, is that faith is only as good as its object. What was Abraham's object? It was God. Now, don't miss this. Weak faith in a strong object is better than strong faith in a weak object. Just imagine these two men and tell me who was doing better. One man has weak faith. He's in New York City and needs to get from Manhattan to Brooklyn, and he has to take the Brooklyn Bridge. Anybody ever been on that bridge before? If you've been there, you know that bridge looks awfully old. In fact, it's almost 150 years old. And some of those cables look like they could snap at any moment. But the man knows he has to get to Brooklyn from Manhattan, and that's the way to do it, so he decides to get on the bridge. He tiptoes all the way across the Brooklyn Bridge. He wouldn't dare drive his car along it. He walks across the bridge. All the while, thousands of tons of automobiles are just zooming him by. Now, I think we would all say that's weak faith, right? But consider another man. This other man has strong faith. He's going along one day in his car, but he sees a broken down, rickety, rusty bridge. It's obvious that bridge is closed and has been for years. And he says, you know what? I have faith. I'm going to make it across this bridge. So he gets in his car, puts it in drive, drives across the bridge, and plummets to his death. Now, let me ask you tonight, which man is doing better? The man with weak faith in a strong object or the man with strong faith in a weak object? I think we'd all say the man with weak faith in the right object, right? Listen, it would be better to have a little faith in the true and living God than to have great faith in Buddha, or great faith in the gods of Hinduism, or great faith in Islam. The most important thing about faith is not the size of the faith or the strength of the faith. It's the object of the faith. Even a little faith in the right object will do wonders. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, if you'll have faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, you'll move mountains. Small faith in a great God can do great things. So Abraham had strong faith because it was in the right object. He had confidence in the character of God. Now in verse 17, it says that Abraham believed two things about God. He believed that God, first of all, could quicken or raise up the dead, and also that he could call those things which be not as though they were. In other words, Abraham believed even all the way back in Genesis 15, before we hear anything about the gospel, before you know too much about God. He didn't even have an Old Testament to read, okay? Abraham believed two things. Number one, God could raise the dead. And number two, God could make something out of nothing. Well, that was really important for him to believe because he had some problems with his faith. God had given him a promise that one day he was going to have a son, and from his seed there'd be a great nation and the whole world would be blessed. The problem is that Abraham is an old man. His body is dead, Romans chapter 4 says. The other problem is that his wife can't have children. So Abraham needs to believe in a God who can raise dead things because his body's dead. He needs to believe in a God who can create something out of nothing because there's nothing going on in the womb of his wife. So faith began for Abraham when he learned a little bit about God and put his confidence in God's character. He trusted God. Now, here's an application this evening. It's really hard to trust a person that you do not know. That's what faith is, confidence in God's character. And one of the reasons we lack faith is that it's hard to trust a person we don't know. Remember, one of Abraham's titles was the friend of God. Isn't that a great title? Abraham was a guy who spent a lot of time with God. He communed with God in prayer. He built an altar everywhere he went so he could have a place to worship God. And most everywhere he went, you read that he was a man of prayer and worship. You can't trust someone you don't know. And folks, you can't know someone you don't spend time with. And it was this time in the presence of God where Abraham learned to put confidence in God's character. Where he learned some things about him, that he could raise the dead, that he could create something out of nothing. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're here tonight and you have a weak faith and you want it to get stronger, the easiest way to do that is to spend time in God's presence. Come to know him in a real and personal way. As you do, you'll grow confident in him. Faith depends on your understanding of the character of the object you have faith in. And if you're weak in faith tonight, the first way to remedy that is to start spending time with God. Abraham was the friend of God. He fellowshipped with God. And as a result, he had confidence in God's character, which began his life of faith. All right, here's the second thing. And this gets really exciting this evening. Strong faith grows. So we saw how it began with confidence in the character of God. But number two, strong faith grows by claiming the promises of God. Strong faith grows by claiming the promises of God. Now, I hope Wednesday night Bible students, you have noticed how prominent the word promise is in this passage. Back up a little bit to verse 13. For the promise. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise. Look at verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God. Verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Abraham's faith in the promises of God were a key component to the strength of his overall faith. Now, I think one of the great definitions for faith that you'll find anywhere in the Bible is in verse 21. Look again there. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. You want a great Bible definition for faith? There it is. Being fully persuaded that God is able to perform what he has promised. Strong faith is fully persuaded that what God has promised, he can do. If you're taking notes tonight, write this down. Faith is always connected to a promise. Faith is always connected to a promise. There can be no faith without a promise from God. No faith without a promise of God. Think to yourself tonight, if I'm going to have strong faith, I must have a promise. I want you to think about this with me for a minute. When you were saved by faith, that's your first experience with faith, right? You were saved by faith. When you were saved by faith, you had a promise, didn't you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what were you doing? You were at that moment taking God at his word, believing that he had made a promise and that he could keep a promise, right? For you to be saved by faith, there had to be a promise. Think about this. When you give by faith, You give by a promise, don't you? Give, and it will be given unto you. How about this? It is more blessed to give than to receive. So because you believe that God is able to provide for your needs, you give by faith because you have a promise. All right, think about this. When you pray in faith, you pray by a promise, don't you? And by the way, if there's any expression that requires faith, it's prayer. I mean, just think about it. You kneel to your knees, you speak words to someone who's not in the same room you're in. I mean, that whole exercise is an exercise of faith, isn't it? And you're claiming a promise. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. Even when you pray, you do it because of promises. When you witness in faith, you do it by a promise, don't you? Like Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. If I would just open up my mouth, this message is so powerful, it'll change somebody's lives. Those are the kinds of promises that encourage people to live by faith and witness, right? Now, I'm making a point. Stay with me. When you go through trials by faith, you do it by a promise, don't you? And isn't it the promises of God that help you to have faith when you're going through a difficult time? How about this one? And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. What I'm trying to say is that every time we legitimately exercise real faith in the Christian life, it's because we have a promise. Faith requires a promise. Listen to what Robert Morgan said. Faith is not positive feelings based on hopeful hunches. It is firm reliance in unbreakable promises made by an unchangeable God. Promises that are inscribed in his word, purchased by the blood, and ratified by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. These aren't hopeful hunches. It's confidence that what God's promised, he's able to perform. One of my favorite definitions of faith is opening up the Bible and stamping on every page, true. That's what faith is. Believing that what God has said in his word is true, that what he's promised, he's able to perform. Now, here's a principle we learn about faith and promises from Abraham. Don't miss it tonight. Strong faith claims promises. That's what we see. He did not stagger at the promises of God. He claimed them. He lived in them. Strong faith claims promises. Weak faith considers problems. Look at verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, and neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Let's put this in the affirmative. Take the word not out for a second. If Abraham was weak in faith, here's how verse 19 would read. And being weak in faith, he considered his own body now dead when he was 100 years old. And he considered the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, these are the problems. And by the way, folks, they're real. His body really was dead. He was an old man. Sarah's womb was dead. She had tried to have children all of her life. She couldn't have them. These things were reality. Abraham's not being pessimistic. He's not being a worrywart or exaggerating. These are real problems that he's living in and day out. Contrary to what many name it and claim it and prosperity teachers are teaching today, faith did not eliminate Abraham's problems. Don't miss that. There are some folks out there that'll just teach if you have enough faith, it will eliminate the obstacle that you're facing. You're sick, have faith, and you can be healed. You have a financial problem, have faith, and God will provide. Abraham, by Paul's admission in Romans chapter 4, has strong faith. Does that eliminate Abraham's problems? Not immediately. For a long time, his body was dead. For a long time, Sarah's womb was closed. And every day when Abraham woke up to live by faith, his body was still dead. His wife was still unable to have children. He lived in that reality for a long time. But yet, verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God and was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. So day in and day out, instead of considering the problem and living in the problem, which would have led to a weak or staggering faith, Abraham chose instead to consider and claim the promise of God. And this is the key to this passage. This is what spoke to my heart as I was studying it. Don't miss it tonight. Abraham lived in two realities. Reality number one, his problems, and they were real. Reality number two, the promises of God. And every single day he made a decision about which reality he would consider more. He chose not to consider his problems, even though those were the things he could see, even though those were the things that were real and present. He chose not to consider his problems. He chose instead to consider and claim his promises, even though he hadn't received them yet. Ladies and gentlemen, that's faith. Faith is choosing to live in the reality of the promise when all you can see on a day in and day out basis is the reality of the problem. He saw the problem, but he didn't consider it. He claimed instead the promises of God. So let me ask you tonight, let's make this personal. Are you considering the problems in your life? Or are you day by day claiming the promises that God has made about those promises, or those problems? Are you reckoning that the problems are real, but God is able to perform what he has promised to you? Now, many of you tonight are facing problems. And instead of constantly breathing in the toxic air of the problems we face, what Romans chapter 4 is telling us is that we can choose instead to breathe in another kind of atmosphere, to live in the atmosphere of the promises of God. What are your problems tonight? Let me ask you then, what has God said about those problems? What promises has he made about the problems you're facing tonight? One of my favorite preachers of the past was D.L. Moody. Great evangelist, great pastor, shook two continents for Christ. He said something I think that's really powerful about faith. He said, I used to close my Bible and pray for faith. God, give me faith, give me faith, give me faith. Please, he said, give me faith. I want my faith to grow. And then he said, one day I read in the Bible where it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. He said, I stopped praying for faith and I started reading my Bible and faith burst a flame in my heart. Listen to me tonight. Faith is always connected to a promise. And to claim the promise, you got to know what the promise is, right? And the only way to do that is get in the book. So I ask you again, what promises has God made about the problems you're facing? Once you know what the promise is, ask yourself this, am I fully persuaded? Am I confident enough in the character of God that what he's promised, he can perform? And the Bible says when you do that, you have strong faith. All right, here's the last thing this evening. Strong faith begins by confidence in the character of God. Strong faith grows by claiming the promises of God. Number three, strong faith endures by obeying the plan of God. And this will be a challenge. Strong faith endures by obeying the plan of God. Look at verse 22. It says, and therefore it was imputed or counted to him for righteousness. Again, Paul's walking us through what happened in Genesis 15. Abraham believes God, he believes the promise, and it is counted to him, imputed to him for righteousness. He's confident in the character of God, persuaded about the promises of God, he believes, and righteousness is imputed to him. And you know the story. Years after that, Abraham and Sarah have a baby boy by the name of Isaac, and God comes through and keeps his word. Now let me ask you, those of you who know Abraham's story, did God perform the miracle for Abraham and Sarah? Oh, absolutely. If God wasn't in the thing, they would have never had a baby. Let me ask you this. Did God do it without Abraham and Sarah's participation? No. God did the miracle. He did it because of the faith of Abraham and Sarah, but don't miss this. Obedience was required. Abraham had to father the child. Sarah had to give birth to the child. God didn't do it without them. He did it through them. It's interesting. Paul points to this story to show that justification is by faith alone. James, in James chapter 2, points to this story to teach a very different truth. Same story. But he uses this same story to teach that faith without works is dead. Remember that passage in James? What James is saying is that Abraham and Sarah could have had a very passive belief that said, God said it, and I believe he'll do it, and one day, by and by, he'll take care of it. And if they would have had a passive faith, Abraham's body would have stayed dead and Sarah's womb would have stayed empty. That's not real faith. Real faith said, because God made a promise and he will keep it, we're going to live in light of it and obey him day by day. And day by day, Abraham and Sarah got up and lived in the promised land and did everything God intended for them to do. They did what they could do, trusting that when the time came, God would do what only he could do. Now, here's the point. Faith is not just believing that God is telling the truth. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. It's casting the net on the other side of the boat when you've been fishing all night and you didn't catch a thing, but just because Jesus did it, you're going to cast your net. It's walking into the fiery furnace because you believe that the God you serve is able to deliver you. It's keeping that faith promise commitment even when God hadn't showed up in your finances yet. It's staying faithful in your devotions even when it seems like you haven't sensed God's presence for a long time. It's acting like God is telling the truth even before you can prove he's telling the truth. That's what faith is. And all throughout those years, in between the giving of the promise in Genesis 12 and many chapters later, when Abraham and Sarah finally have Isaac, God was testing and trying Abraham's faith. Faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And ladies and gentlemen, the stronger your faith is, the more God's going to test it. And during those seasons of testing, before he shows up in the finances, before he allows you to lead the person to Christ, before he makes himself real in your devotional time, during that time of testing and waiting, strong faith just keeps acting like God is telling the truth. It just keeps obeying. Now, Paul's point in Romans 4, Abraham's faith got stronger and stronger the longer he walked with God. And what's the result? Look at verse number 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Notice this last phrase, giving glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, strong faith that begins in the confidence of God, that grows by claiming the promises of God, that day in and day out just keeps obeying the plan of God. That kind of faith glorifies God. Now give me 30 more seconds and let's just think for a moment about the alternative to strong faith. What's the alternative to strong faith? Well, it's weak faith. And he actually gives us an example of that right here when it says Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. That word staggering is a word of weakness. What do you think about when you think about a person staggering? I think about a toddler who's learning to walk and falling all over the place, staggering. I think about a skinny guy in a windstorm who's just trying to get home. I mean, he's staggered, right? I think about a person who's under the influence of alcohol and just falling all over himself and can't get where he needs to go. He's staggering, right? Now listen, unfortunately, a lot of Christians live the Christian life staggering. A step here, a step there, and then they're falling. The wind blows, a storm comes, they can't stand up. Now, thank God for his grace that picks us up every single time we fall. And aren't you glad when you fail in your faith that the grace of God is there to pick you up? I'm so glad for that. But wouldn't it be God's will for you to develop the kind of strong faith that when trials and difficulties come, you're able to stand and keep your faith in God and keep acting like God is telling the truth? Ladies and gentlemen, that's God's will for everyone. So let me just ask you, as you look back over your life and some of the storms blowing in our culture and in your life, do you have a strong faith? Do you have confidence in the character of God? I hope you do. Are you constantly studying the Word of God, claiming promises and living by faith because of those promises? I hope you do. And even before God shows up and even before you can feel his answer, are you acting like God is telling the truth, obeying day in and day out? I hope you are. That's what strong faith is all about. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so much for this story from the life of Abraham that teaches us not only about saving faith, but also about sustaining faith, how we can get through the tough times in life. Lord, we need strong faith today. Many, many Christians all over the world are being blown around by the wind, blown around by the storms. Help us to grow in faith. I'm so glad that you're there for us when we fail and when we fall. But I know you want to develop us to a place where we can stand and withstand. Thank you again for the example we've seen. Help us to take these practical truths and use them. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? We'll have just one verse of invitation. Even on a Wednesday night, we want to give folks an opportunity to respond to the truth that you've heard. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved by faith. It's the only way a person can be saved. Maybe your faith's been in religion, faith's been in a baptism, faith's been in signing a card when you were a kid. Only faith in Jesus will save. Perhaps those of us who are saved see some areas in our faith life where we need to grow stronger. God's spoken to your heart. You come tonight if God's spoken to you. Brother Corey, you lead us.